It's the best Kiwi end in New Zealand, this.
Crossing New Zealand in 1 or 2 days.
Why do I do it? Because I love it.
3, 2, 1, go!
Well, good evening. Welcome to the Kathmandu Coast to Coast podcast, brought to you, of course, by Team CP, your endurance coaching specialist, Angus Petrie, and the team captain, Richard Greer. Mate, welcome. Season 4, episode 2.
We've been down at this for a while.
Hey, that's 4 years we've been doing this, mate.
You'd almost think we'd start to know what we're talking about by now.
Well, she's developed along the way, that's for sure. No doubting that. Of course, the podcast designed to help you people out there get from the start line over on the west coast of the South Island all the way across to the east coast. You're going to run, you're going to bike, you're going to do a bit of kayaking along the way, Rich. And we are here to help you get the best out of yourself, I suppose.
Exactly right. Yep. We're going to help bring a bit of fun to that adventure and make sure that you make the most of your weekend.
Yeah, yeah. And tonight, if you are out there now and you're watching live over our Team CP Facebook page, throw us a question if you want. I'll be looking at our questions, so feel free. Shout out, throw us a question. And if you're listening to this as a podcast afterwards, never be afraid to reach out to either Team CP or the Coast to Coast and ask a question, and in future podcasts we can answer those as we go along.
That's what we're all about. Let's share this knowledge and make sure it's not a bit of an unknown, and make sure that you can enjoy yourself as you do it.
Yeah, so tonight we're going to go through a list of questions and I guess interesting training tips. It's all about training tonight, really, isn't it?
Yeah, training. And what are we, November now? So we want to make sure that we make the most of that time. We're about 3 months out to race day, and this is a time when we want to start getting specific to the race and make the most of the time that we've got available, but hopefully make sure we've still got a job at the end of it and still recognize our partner as well, which is the balance.
Very important.
Yep. So
both of those things, very important.
That's right. And a few years back when I sort of looked to start to do this again, I did it a number of years ago, is to be allowed to do it again. Like, rather than the family to go, yep, well, fine, you can do this, we'll support you, but you're never, ever allowed to do this again. So, and that's super important to try and get that balance right. I think sometimes we get it right, and then sometimes we just don't quite get it right. It's always sort of coming and going. So make sure that whatever your goals are, you've discussed them with the family, and they're in line with what you're actually trying to do day by day, week by week, month by month.
Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, make sure you're checking in with them and have a good debrief at the end of it, right? Because you know, there'll be some trials and tribulations along the way, no doubt. You'll be day after day after weekend after weekend training, committing a lot of time, and your partner might be at home doing all the other chores, keeping the household working. But there'll be no doubt that somewhere along the line throughout that weekend, your partner, your wife, your husband, your girlfriend, your whatever, will get involved in this event. They will get bitten by the atmosphere along the way, and there'll be some enjoyment. There's no doubting that.
That's
and
right.
Make sure you check in and check what their experiences were along the way too, and that'll help you get another year.
Which is a thing, isn't it? Absolutely. We want to make sure that it is a sustainable thing that you can do again and you can enjoy it. And you don't, like, training, you put your effort into that and you go deep during that training. So you don't want to be just on the couch, a shell of yourself at the end of the day, because you're no fun to be with. So yes, I was there, but was I actually there? So that's sort of making sure that you do put some time aside for energy for other parts of your life rather than just training. Because, I mean, that's the thing with this whole coast to coast business, is that it's long and it's hard. So the more we do generally, the better we think we're going to go, but it's not always the case. So how do we kind of temper that? How do we make sure that we don't overdo it too much and maybe manage our intensity a bit rather than going out for so long and make the most of our sessions?
And one of the other funny things is sometimes you get to the finish line and you go, I'm never doing that again. And there's your partner standing there going, God, I can't wait to next year. Next year you'll be able to.
Exactly. Come on, let's get back up, sign up again.
And you're like, I don't want to do this again.
Yeah, that's right. So exactly. And that's just the atmosphere of it. And you want to make sure that you get to the start line in one piece, injury free, as fit as you can, with a bit of a plan of attack of how you're going to do it. Those four things I talk about a lot. So again, I guess that's what this podcast is about as well, is not just, it is about balancing things, but also making sure you do get to the start line and you are there ready to go and make the best of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And don't forget, like we said when we started this, we're season four, so there's a whole back catalogue of tips and tricks on the CP webpage. You can get all our podcasts and things from there. And so, you know, there's been some great things over the year through this Kathmandu Coast to Coast podcast of some great guests and things. So plenty of tips. If you're out running, we've got plenty of, if you want to listen to us when you're running, I don't know whether people do or not, but nonetheless, don't forget to have a look back in there. So tonight, like we said, we're going to go through some questions. We're going to have Sophie Beaumont join us throughout the evening. I don't know.
There's a word that Sophie's running at the moment. She might even get in touch with us during the run, I heard.
Mid-run. Well, that will be...
Make sure she stays in her aerobic zone, not too anaerobic, because she's answering questions.
Hopefully she's put Facebook on live or something while she's running there now.
Yeah.
Mate, we're going to talk about all sorts of things tonight. We'll touch on intensity. And I guess where people's intensity's been. But a rumor on the mill is that you've doubled your intensity in your kayak training.
Well, let's call it frequency.
I guess it's intensity. Frequency. Yeah, all right, you've doubled your frequency.
This summer.
So you've gone from
2 kayak sessions over the weekend, and I've doubled that, and I've done 4 so far this season. So look out. And the river was in a bit of flood, actually. So we're sitting at about 400 cubics. I've paddled on the lower Waimak. We live just down the road from it. So got on there, and it's quite fun paddling different places that the stones usually are, paddling up this bit and around here and down over here and things. So yeah, really good. And I guess I do a bunch of upstream paddling is how I do most of my training, because it's just easy to do. And hey, if I'm doing a 45-minute paddle, it takes me an hour in total by the time I get the boat on the car and back in the shed kind of thing at the end of it. So, look out.
It's not a bad thing though, right? Because we've been through winter and it's not always the ideal time for kayaking. So plenty of people run and bike throughout that time. And now is about that time that a lot of people start picking up the volume in a kayak anyway.
Well, it depends. Like, what we want to think about is during winter, we work on the thing we're not quite so good at. And then during, obviously now we want to start getting specific to the race day. So we want to start thinking about how we're actually moving and what the movements are going to be like on race day. So yeah, I guess, for me, winter is winter, and hey, I'm pretty happy with my paddling. So it's just a matter of, getting specific, and just getting that sort of muscle memory and getting just forearms and wrists and shoulders and things happy. And in the next sort of month or so, we'll make sure we get through the gorge and do some of that big long paddling that you can get stuck into as well. So I guess it's just a matter of wherever you're at, whatever you've been doing, if you up the ante too fast, that's when you're going to more likely to get injured. So be it running, cycling and paddling, make sure that you just take your time to let your body adjust. For example, part of my session, I went for a quick run around the riverbed and then jumped on my boat. So I did 2 things on the weekend, both days. So again, I've been sort of had a big mountain bike event sort of a couple of weeks ago. So that's kind of been the focus, which is good fun. And now it's like, let's get the body used to running and let's get it used to paddling. So the old calf muscles know about it of running and compared to what we've been doing previously. So yeah, I just, I've had a couple of days off running after doing a couple of runs around the riverbed. So just letting your body adapt is super important as well.
So let's talk about this time of the year. You know, for those listening, we're November 2022 right now.
Yep.
So we've got a few months to go before the start line. So let's just focus on this time of the year. Right now, where should we potentially be? I mean, that's going to be different for everybody, but in general, where should we be about this time of the year?
Yeah, so I guess that within this Coast to Coast event, you've got lots of different people doing lots of different events and parts of it, etc. But I think first of all, you want to be doing everything, every discipline that you're training for, and simulating the event to get specific to that. So building up to the point of, we want to go for a decent bike ride, then we want to be running off our bike, and we want to be running over terrain that simulates goat pass as best as we possibly can based on the YouTube videos we've watched or what we know about it. And then we want to make sure that we have if it's a 2-day, hey, we want to get in our boat and then do a bike ride afterwards, and then sort of simulate what that paddle is going to be like as well. So it's actually just piecing that together and building up to that volume. So then on race day, your body knows what it's up against. Your mind knows what it's up against. You've practiced your nutrition. You know that you've used your gear, and that all works as well. So it's actually just practicing what you're going to do on race day. So race day isn't a surprise. That's kind of where we're at and getting to that stage.
And I used to find when I once did it.
When was that, actually?
Well, funny you say that. A long time ago, Richard, 2013, I think, was... Okay.
That would
was
be coming up to your 10-year anniversary.
It would be a 10-year. Now, wouldn't that have been a great thing if I had entered again for my 10-year anniversary? Wouldn't that have been a great thing? That is not happening.
Have we got Glenn Curry online? We've got a hotline to him, I think, maybe.
Mate, somebody's got to do all those other bits that need to happen throughout the event while you're busy running.
Right. Looking good on the sidelines.
That's dead right. Mm-hmm. But... you know, I used to find that I'd go for a bike ride. If I was going to go for a bike ride, I may just like get all get up, maybe bar the helmet, throw my shoes on and just do like a 1K, 2K round the block, throw the shoes back off and then go on my bike ride. Now, not a very big run, not a very far run, but let's face it, the very first run off the beach isn't a very far, far run. It's cold in the morning. You haven't done a lot of warm up. always thought that was quite a good little wee simulation that sometimes is forgotten about. We do the ride and then we do the big run off the bike or the whatever. And so sometimes we forget about just that little wee first run.
Yes, absolutely. That's exactly right. So just it's mentally as much as physically, isn't it? And that's why, like on the weekend, I went for a run around the riverbed first. Like actually before you get into your boat, you're not completely cold and you've ridden for 30, 40, 50 minutes or so, and then you've run a K down to the boat, or you've done sort of 6-8 hours worth of exercise if you're doing the longest day before that. So just getting in your boat, knowing that you've already done a bit before, is really important.
Yeah. So, you know, you've got Team CP, we've got a lot of athletes being coached for the Kathmandu Coast to Coast, of course. Talk me through like maybe a weekly plan. How would you put together a weekly plan for somebody?
That's a good question. I guess everybody is individual and specific, so that's there's obviously that piece to play with. But I think in terms of that, like we want to think about a reproducible weekly routine that we can do. So the family know that on a Wednesday I'm riding my bike. On a Tuesday I'm going running. On a Thursday I'm going paddling, etc. So we want to kind of keep those structures in place. If you're a shift worker, that starts to get a little bit tricky. But if you've got a repeatable shift pattern, so you do your 4 days on, your 4 days off or whatever, hey, on the first day off, well, maybe that's a cruisy paddle because my head's not going to be in it because I haven't slept very well, et cetera. So creating a routine, I think, is really important to make sure that you can actually listen to your body and you know that I'm going to be feeling a bit tired on Monday, et cetera. So I'd say that would be the first part, develop that routine. And then the second bit is, as we talked about, we want to start simulating the race. So say if it's the weekend for you or whenever your weekend lands, actually start by getting into the mountains, getting into the hills, doing some longer stuff and putting that together. So I guess the other side of it is we need to make sure some recovery time happens. So like guys that have done longer stay that we coach, actually you're going to have Monday and you're going to have Friday off, and then you're going to go well during Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. That might be when you do a little bit of intensity type work as well during those times, and maybe a group session or two, which is just fun to do. And then during the weekend, right, let's get out and do some longer missions. But I know I'm going to be tired on Monday because I've got that, but I'm also fresh because I've had a bit of a rest day on Friday as well. So playing with that, I think, is really important. But obviously weather and how you're feeling, knowing that I might need to take two rest days if I have had a big weekend. If you do the coast to coast, you're not like if you're simulating the race and you do, let's say the 2 day, the Saturday and the Sunday, you're not going to go 2 days later and start back into training again after actual race. So, hey, if you need to have another day off, we'll have another day off. I think that's really important. I think a lot of people actually were training, so we've got to keep going and going, but actually listening to your body. I had a Tuesday off because I was a bit tired yesterday.
And a lot of that comes with experience, doesn't it? Knowing how to understand your body. I see a question come through here, Richard. And it's a little bit different for everybody, I suppose, again, just like everything else. But how many hours should I be training? Like, how we talk about, you know, you don't want to overtrain, you don't, and people don't want to undertrain. And traditionally, like you say, people err on the side of I should do more. An average Joe doing the 2 day, what sort of like volume in that weekly plan should they do? How many hours should they do?
That's a really tough question, isn't it? Because it depends on goals and it depends on all sorts of different things. But I guess, hey, like, it's a good question. Like, I think a baseline of Around about that, like those 10 hours is probably not a bad option, but even like a sort of down to sort of six or so. So and it depends on, say, what that big weekend looks like. Mm. So if you do a 2-hour bike ride and a 2-hour run, that's 4 hours already, isn't it? Mm. So you're already getting through that across the course of the weekend. So now that training time is going to increase. Many years ago when I did the longest day, I look back on my training diary and the biggest week I did was 16 hours. I think coast to coast is different from the likes of Ironman and those other multidiscipline events, because swimming is a recovery sort of thing, and the nature of the mountain run, and it's just hard on your body. Yeah. As well. So you've got to be careful with the recovery side of things. So the actual total volume is kind of a little bit irrelevant in a way, because you need to make sure that recovery happens. But like I've got a thing on my watch, 6 hours is the minimum that I try to do. So that's kind of an hour a day. But then obviously on those big weeks when you're simulating it, well, let's get amongst it. And it might be up to 12 and 14 and 16-ish.
You said something quite important there actually too, that here's a hot tip for you back at home. If you're not on a training plan or got some real structure going on there, make sure you do keep a journal, keep a diary of what your training looks like, especially if you plan to do it next year.
Yeah.
So that you don't have to go, oh, what did I do
here?
Keep a really good detailed journal of what you've done. And I guess just as importantly, more for the mindset, is to understand how you are feeling, not only at each session, but throughout the week, right? Mm-hmm. Like at the end of the week, write a little how that week went, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can look back a page or two and actually see a pattern starting to form there a little bit if you're not starting to feel good. So be honest with yourself. But really importantly, keep that journal, because it's great to go back to year and year about.
That's right. And Strava is a great tool for that. We use that, like, and that's a really good thing to look at what you're doing. But I think you're exactly right. You need to make a note or two, because you don't have all those little bits. And the summary of the week is a really nice thing to do as well. So yeah, keep a written diary, however you decide to do it, but actually write a note or two about how you're feeling. So then next year you can reflect back, and then you can improve your build up. Mm. So you don't sort of keep doing the same mistakes again.
I guess important through that week is something I'm really bad at, and that's a bit of mobility and stretching and all of those things.
Do we need to push the chair back and
do a bit of we probably do.
Right,
we probably do. Let's look. It's not about me, mate. It's about everybody else. So, you know, we all do know how important actually just lying on the floor is and having a wee stretch. And
that's right. And I think that needs to be part of your week as well. It doesn't have to be much. It just needs to be something, a bit of like press ups, some core strength, some lunges, et cetera, et cetera. So it's strength and mobility, isn't it? It's actually be able to move through that range of movement. And I think that's it, just as much as it helps your performance, it decreases the chances of injury as well. It makes you more robust.
So is there a golden window? Like, let's say, well, what's your recommendation about stretching cold before doing something? Yes.
Is it a 1980s thing?
That's where I'm going with this, right? So this is what I'm just trying to say. Let's bring this. Is it a yay or an A or a doesn't matter?
Well, there's all sorts of things with stretching going on. Do you need to stretch at all? As well, there's that. But I think, say, even strength. Strength training, for example, takes your body through a range of movement already, doesn't it? So, hey, it might not be stretching, but you're doing a single-legged squat with your foot back on, like a Bulgarian split squat with a foot back up on the couch kind of thing. That's taking your thigh and your hip flexor through a range of movement. So that's those sorts of things. So in terms of stretching, the answer is it depends, but that's the thing that if you're going to do it afterwards. Tell your body what you want it to move like after you've done that run session, bike session. Don't do it beforehand. Do it towards the end of things when you're finished.
And what about that magic? Is there a time window after you've exercised? Is there a good little slot there somewhere we should be getting that stretch done?
Well, I would do it before you stop sweating, while you're still sweating, before you can get in the shower. That's a good point. So generally I tend to stretch after my runs, because biking, you might be a bit cold after your bike ride. Paddling, there's a bit of admin to do, getting your boat sorted. So running is generally a bit easier and you're probably a bit hotter. So just have a bit of a stretch on the lounge floor before you jump into the shower is a good option. And then in terms of strength training, I'm one that's not amazing at that. I'd much rather go running and biking and sort of encourage people to, hey, it's completely fine to do a little bit of that just before you go running or just before you go biking. So it's actually done. You've done that before you have your dessert, which is the thing you enjoy, which is your running and your biking and your paddling.
Now, it's great to do at this time of year to do all this training and stuff, but sometimes also throwing an event in there. Would you plan an event into somebody's into their training plan? Would you go, hey, let's line up an event just so that you can go through that intensity of racing and things? Is that?
Yeah, I think that's awesome, because what happens a lot with this race is, because it's a bit of a bucket lister type race, we just put all our eggs in the coast-to-coast basket, because that's what I've got to do. But this is a really good time of year just to put your toe on the start line of any race. It could be just a running race or a bike race or just a paddling race, or it might be ideally a multidiscipline race where I actually need to do a couple of transitions in there as well. But every time you do an event, you learn stuff, don't you? So you will learn how you go, and you'll be better for that. Even if it's just, I thought I was going well, but actually I got dealt to a little bit there, and I need to sort of pull my socks up. So it can be good for motivation as well.
Yeah, you try a new bit of gear out.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You change your nutrition, or
that's right.
Find that something doesn't work and I need to change my nutrition, or yeah, that's right. And especially for, I suppose, like you say, coast is a bit of a bucket list, and there are probably plenty of people that haven't really done any events before and go, well, I'm going to do the coast to coast now. To be fair, the year I did it, I hadn't really done any events either. But luckily back then we had the big day at the office and Frostbuster, and we had a bit of a run of multi-sport events leading up to that. So it was pretty lucky actually. Mm. But I did find that was probably the most valuable stuff ever, was to actually toe the line, get the opportunity to get some transition practice in. So there you go. Find yourself an event. There's plenty of them going on at the moment.
That's right. And it doesn't have to be heaps of events. You don't have to do it every weekend, but just at least one, because I find that the actually doing those big mission type sessions are kind of events in themselves, based on what the family see, that you're away all day. You're having to get your nutrition sorted, you've got to get your gear sorted, etc. There's logistics, and it costs money to be able to drive your car somewhere to do stuff. So yes, do that event, but then you kind of create your own events as well as part of that, by actually doing some training specifically to what the race day looks like.
Yeah, that's right. And don't forget to take your family with you. Take a picnic blanket. Yeah.
Yep.
If it's a nice sunny day, take the family, take the kids, let them enjoy that race atmosphere as well. Again, all lining yourself up for that next attempt for the next year.
But just don't be too long. Like, just make sure you get, because otherwise they're like, is he coming yet? What's going on here? Are we ever going to get out of here? It's cold and rainy. What are we up to? So,
true.
Yep.
What else are we going to talk about? Simulation? Should we have a quick talk about that?
We could do that. Yeah. We've also got a bit of a guest going on in the
background. Well, I see Sophie's there. You want to bring Sophie in now?
She's pretty keen. She's, is she still sweating from her run?
Just about. She's nodding. Let's have a look. Okay, let's.
G'day, guys.
Hey, how you going? Fancy seeing you here.
Fancy seeing you. Gosh, it's been, half an hour?
Good stuff. So, Sophie, we went for a bike ride tonight, and you also had a bit of a run to do as well. Tell us about your run. How did that go?
Managed 20 minutes off the bike. Legs really hurt for about the first 10, but then they warmed up and it was all good. So that was nice. I've been a bit slack about the brick training, so a good one to start doing a bit more of.
Nice. So you've had a busy sort of time in the last little while. You've done an event, so tell us about what you've been up to since we last talked.
I've had a couple of races. So I did the Salmon Run. I can't remember if we'd talked before or after that, which wasn't my best day out, but that's okay. Lots of learnings, and then applied some of those learnings to the Wanaka Multi a couple of weeks later, and just had such an awesome day. It was just awesome. I really enjoyed myself. I was not particularly fast in the kayak. In fact, I was very near the back of the field, but that's all right. I've embraced the fact that I'm at this stage quite a slow paddler and I need to improve. But I just loved it. The bike was awesome. The run was hard, but really good. I've still got plenty to learn, but it was a really fun day out and just a really nice event to be part of. So,
awesome.
It was good.
Sophie, just as we're talking there, you've got a wee bit of feedback. Maybe you could just unplug your earphones. Can you just turn those off and it might come up a little bit better? Pretty keen, if you can still hear me, pretty keen to hear what some of those learnings might have been?
I think for me,
We've just lost Sophie. She's completely disappeared. Sophie, come back.
She's back.
Sorry, a few tech issues tonight.
Yep, that's a good
big learning. I think nutrition is something I'm still really working on. I get the stitch. Like, there doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason to it. Some days I get the stitch and some days I don't. And I don't know, that's trying to work to prevent that is a major for me. And I think I'm getting better at it. I didn't get stitched down at Wanaka Multi, so that was really cool. I think as well, I have a tendency to kind of just absolutely go for it, which I definitely did on the bike leg down in Wanaka, and just didn't leave myself with quite enough in the legs for the run. It was 14Ks the run, which, you know, that was definitely enough after couple of hours already out and about. I need to just learn to pace myself a little bit better.
Were you on your own on that bike, or were you sucked into the group of a whole lot of people there?
I was on my own. To be honest, I was catching people.
I can get that one. There's the next one.
A bit of that. I could see mates up ahead of me, and there's quite a big hill that you climb in the midst of it, and I could see, I've got some friends who are racing tandem and they were in white tops, and I could see these two white dots on the hill from a long way back. And I kind of went, oh, could that be them? I was like, nah, surely not. And I'm gaining on them and I'm going, oh, I think it is. I think that's them. And so obviously I had to catch them up the hill. But no, I didn't really end up in a group or anything. I was flying pretty solo on the bike, which I was fine with that. I didn't, you know, there wasn't really any groups forming. Back in the pack where I was to start with, having come out of the bog quite near the back. I think I just pushed a little bit too hard up some of the hills. And so that's really good learning, is just to make sure I leave enough gas in my legs. And it's something I'll need to practice a bit more. But yeah, that one. So I think for me, yeah, pacing myself and getting the nutrition right, making sure I've got enough, but not... not so much that I, you know, get a massive gut bomb and get the stitch and everything else. Yeah.
And is it part of that actually just kind of having the confidence to run your own race rather than sort of racing others too much? Is that because when we're feeling good, we're like, let's send it. But as the race gets longer, there's only smaller and smaller moments when we actually race others. Otherwise, we just blow ourselves to bits.
Yeah, I think I definitely... You know, you can see that you know who the fast people are, and you can see them up the front, and it's so tempting to really try and keep up with them for the whole thing. And yeah, I think you're right. I need to have a bit more confidence in my own race plan and what I want to achieve, and be a little bit more, I guess, decisive in my actions to make that happen rather than just following a crowd and kind of do what everyone else is doing. I know where my strengths lie, and I think I need to learn to be better at maximising those. Because
you'll find that, you know, half of the field is doing exactly what you've done there, and they're overexerting themselves too early on, and, you know, because that's, you know, one of the most common things to do, right? So if you can control that and bring that back and save some for the legs, although you haven't chased them down on the bike, I just about guarantee that you're going to get them on the run. You know, that's the tortoise hare game, right? And you just no doubt that people have done exactly what you've done. They get to the run.
And I find there's two things there. There's either, if someone passes you, there's two things that are happening. Either they're having a really good day out, number one, and well done to them, and carry on, or they'll be back soon and they're going too fast and you'll catch them up again.
And the other thing that, you know, that Wanaka race, there's teams racing in a relay. And so that's really hard not to get sucked into as well, because someone will come flying past and it takes a minute for your brain to go, hang on, they've got fresh legs. They're only doing the run.
Yep.
Nice work. And what's a highlight since we talked to you last? Is there any other sort of key things you've been up to? Anything else that's been going on? Obviously, you've done a couple of races, which is awesome, and exactly what we've been talking about. You'll learn some stuff, and there's some valuable things to take through forward for the Kathmandu Coast to Coast 2023? Because obviously last build up, there wasn't many events on because COVID and everything else was going on. So that's really good. But anything else that's been happening for you?
Yeah, I mean, probably a slightly weird highlight, this one, because it's not really a training highlight as such, but I'm a teacher and I run our school tramping club. And the week just been, I took a bunch of our year 8 students, so they're 12, 13 years old, took a group of them into the hills, some of them for their very first overnight tramp. And man, it was super cool. They were awesome kids. It was, you know, it was a hard enough trip, and we camped up at a spot called Mystery Lake up above Lake Clearwater, really beautiful. And seeing these kids in the outdoors, it really, for me, that's what it's all about. You know, I love being out there. I love exploring our country. And it was really, really special to be able to take that group of kids and show them something that I'm passionate about and see them, you know, see a spark of that passion in them as well. So that's been a real highlight for me recently. And it's made me more and more determined. I'm trying to get our school to run a bit more of adventure racing and a multi-sport program. And so it's got my, you know, all the cogs turning in my brain going, okay, next year we'll get that going.
That's cool. Mystery Lake is a great little spot up there, isn't it? You don't want to shout out what school are you teaching at there? Which school's going to have this new multi-sport program? And
I teach at St. Margaret's College in Christchurch. So
there you go, out. St. Margaret's College. Look out for their adventure racing team, multi-sport team.
Yeah, that's right. And I just also want to know is you must be pretty famous based on these podcasts now, Sophie, across the school.
Oh, I'm so famous. Yeah. I'm known as that crazy teacher who's always trying to get people outside.
I hope this podcast's on the school curriculum.
Absolutely. Required listening. Actually, a lot of the kids will be sitting there writing about it.
I was going to say, I thought it would probably be like detention or something, is it? That's what they got to listen to, is us, Richard, in detention, probably. Yeah. Hey, Soph, did you learn anything tonight?
Yep. Definitely learn how to tell when I've got a flat tire as I rode up a hill towards Rich and said, oh,
Something's wrong with my bike. What's going on with my bike? I was like, Sophie, your back tire's flat. That's what's wrong with your bike. How did your tire change go?
Look, it wasn't going particularly well as I started out solo, and then my mate Becker stopped to give me a hand, and then it wasn't going much better, and then thankfully Angus came along and saved the day.
Well done. We'll give her a high five there. Look at that. Saved the day.
Look, you know, Sophie did say that she hadn't changed many of these and they didn't really know what they're doing. So I said, well, that's fine. I can sit on the grass here and watch.
Give advice. I like it.
And actually, to be fair, what I learned is your multi-tool with the little gas thing on it's rubbish.
Is it? Okay, so
it's rubbish. You need a new one of those.
That's good to know. Well, very good of me to leave the gear with Sophie and then just bugger off. So, sorry about that.
But hey, look, there's something that, like you said, Sophie, you said, you know, I haven't ridden bikes enough to get enough flat tires and hopefully a lot of people don't get flat tires, right? Because nothing worse than a flat tire, but being prepared and actually knowing how to fix that flat tire is actually a really key thing.
Yep. So that's a big tick in the box. We need to come up with almost a bit of a checklist for this sort of what do we need to do from November onwards. And changing a tire and how quickly can you do it is definitely wants to be a thing for sure. So Sophie, that's a tick. You've done one. Have you done one? Can you claim it as your own?
No, I think I'd claim it as a half. as I was running with Becca, the one who stopped to help me change the tyre, we were saying, all right, let's do an afternoon where we take a couple of tyres, you know, a couple of tubes off and put them back on again and do some practice. So you have sparked that. Thank you.
I can't see too much grease on your face and things from the sort of changing tyre situation.
Look, let's just say Sophie didn't get the coffee card. but also something to do also that's really, you know, and you go, oh, well, I'm going to practice changing my tyres and I've got my training wheels here, so I'll practice changing my tyres on there. Make sure if you're running a different set of wheels on race day, like some carbon, some deep dishes or some something like that, one, make sure you've got the right tube for it with a long valve if you've got a deep dish carbon. But yours was plenty long enough tonight, Sophie, that's for sure. But two, the rims can be quite different, and some of the carbon rims can be quite hard to get a tire on, and depending on what tire you're running, is often hard to get back on. So just make sure get the general process, but also make sure you do a little bit of practice with the actual gear you're going to run.
Makes sense.
Well done. So clearly that was a highlight of your last sort of month as well. So what are we looking forward to over the next wee bit for you? What's happening in the lead into Christmas? Have we got heaps on at school or the whole bunch of trips planned, or have you got missions lined up? What's in the diary for Sophie?
What isn't is probably a better question. I'm off to school camp for a week next week, so that'll be cool. More getting kids into the outdoors and fitting in a bit of training in the evenings when I can. And then school's winding up, and then I'm off. I'm going with my dad. He's a regular hut warden for Doc, and I'm going with him for up to Blue Lake and Nelson Lakes National Park, which will be pretty cool. So I'm going to stuff a running vest inside my tramping pack and go on some missions up there, which I'm really excited for. So I'm going to run up Wire Pass, probably Moss Pass, and yeah, some really cool technical running up there. So that'll be a really cool week that I'm looking forward to.
Good, good, good. And get strong just by tramping and carrying a pack for a week. How good is that? You can't go wrong.
Yeah, it'll be perfect. And then dad will, carry hopefully some treats to feed me up at the end of the day.
Because that's the trouble. You're using extra energy, hopefully sort of baking up a something or other to eat when you get back.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah, good job, good job.
Yeah, no, I'm bloody impressive, really, isn't it, to be fair?
Yep.
Again, as always, though, your enthusiasm, we have lights here in our, if you could see our lovely glowing lights here, but Sophie, your enthusiasm always is brighter than any light we can produce here in the studio. So great to hear, I guess, the story of, the school and the kids and a lot of kids do not ever get the opportunity, if their parents aren't into it or anything like that, they don't actually get the opportunity to see it. And it's a long time coming before they do. So that's absolutely fantastic that's going on there.
Yeah, well done. So you look after yourself, Soph. We'll look forward to hopefully, I was going to say, seeing a tyre change next week. Hopefully that doesn't happen. Go and get amongst that. And enjoy your training and keep doing what you're doing. You're amazing. Keep it up.
Thanks so much, guys. Always good to chat. And thanks for helping with my tyre.
Yeah, well done.
Thanks, Soph. See ya.
See ya.
You know what we should do is maybe we need to run a sweepstake or a time trial or something, Richard, some tyre changing practice.
Live. It might take a bit long. probably not a very good watch, is it?
I wasn't really thinking us. Okay. And it's probably not really great podcast, listening material.
Yeah. No. It could be some swear words, most probably. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, no, that's good. So she's well on her way. She's, got quite good structure going on and got plenty of plans ahead for the year. So that's tick one as well, isn't it, really? Good solid plan. Now, don't forget, if you are watching live right now across Facebook as we record this, throw us a question if you've got anything you want answered around training or the Kathmandu coast to coast or whatever. We just type away there, throw us a question, and we'll see if we can answer it.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Anything else come through there, Angus?
No,
it's pretty good. Yeah, no, that's right. I think you've said exactly right there. Right now, we want to make sure that we've got some plans. We've got some dates in the diary. We've got some adventures with others planned, and put that out so everybody in the family knows. I think that's super important. And that's what this podcast is about, is actually just simulate race day. Know what it's about. Learn from others. Be safe in the outdoors is also super important as well. And get out there and venture. I guess probably the other point to talk about is not everybody is based in Canterbury. Not everybody can get over Goat Pass. The Waimak might be the first time you've ever paddled it when you arrive in New Zealand and then paddle down the river. I've got a couple of people that are in the Northern Hemisphere. One guy that's in the north of Canada that's just got a job, and it's dark and it's frozen and all those sort of things. How do we train for that? So in that regard, we've got him doing a bunch of CrossFit-y type stuff. We've got him on Zwift, so he's riding his bike. And the CrossFit-y type workout for him is that whole mountain run is a scramble. It's not a run. So how do we kind of make sure we're robust and strong, and then also sort of fit to be able to do that? So that's important if you kind of in that situation can't really get outside and actually do that training. But we want to think about that mountain run, what it's about stepping up. It's not about running on the footpath. It's about We're going to jump over picnic benches. We're going to climb through kids' playgrounds. We're going to run in the gutter, and then we're going to jump on the verge of the road and up and down and up and down. We're going to the cracks in the footpath. We're going to jump from crack to crack, side to side on the footpath. Mm. We're going to throw away our watch and not care that we're not running 5 minute Ks. If you're doing 7 minute Ks, that's actually probably better, because it means that you're playing as you're running, as you're doing that as well. So you don't need Goat Pass to be able to do that. A lot of places have like a seawall or like if you're close to the sea, etc. So there's always big aggressive kind of rocks there to sort of clamber and climb up as well. So that's really useful.
And you know what we know of Goat Pass is that no two footsteps are the same.
That's right.
Yep. Right. So yeah, take away. I mean, run the road, run the park, run the whatever. That's fine. But like you say, really important to make sure that all your other muscles have been activated and you've got strength and all those support ankle muscles and knees and things, right?
That's right. And that's what we talked about earlier. Strength and mobility is really important. And that balance, like balance is probably like ankle injuries would probably be one of the number one reasons why people don't make to the start line. So the best thing that you can do for that is it's all about proprioception, that the catching your muscle before it fully and ligaments before they tear and injure themselves. So what happens there, basically the muscle from your lower leg will send a nervous impulse to your spine and then straight back down, that stretch reflex, and tell that muscle to go, oh, we contract. And if that's not fast enough, the injury has already happened before the muscle's contracted to sort of catch you before it goes. So we can actually train that. And the best way to train it is while you're brushing your teeth, close your eyes and stand on one foot. And you're doing it twice a day. And you need to do it on a regular basis. If you've got like a wobble board, or you can make your own like that, that's really good as well. And hey, if someone throw a ball and you can catch it or something like that. But again, roll a towel up and try and balance on that. If you close your eyes, then it makes it a whole lot harder, because you've got no visual feedback. All that feedback has to come through the nervous impulse from your lower leg. So play with that balance. I think that's really, really important. And that's going to decrease your chances of injury sort of specific to that mountain run. And I think the other thing I've learned you'd learn lots of things, is don't try and do off-road running in long grass, because there's holes everywhere.
Yeah. So you can't see them.
You can't see them. So therefore you're going to injure yourself. Yeah. So be careful where you do that. And then just make sure, hey, do a wee warm, balancey warm up before you actually just throw yourself at it as well. Stand on one foot and just slowly get yourself up and build your confidence as you go.
Rich, we've got, since we've made that last comment, we've got plenty of questions coming through, which I'm going to get to in a minute, but just to carry on there, I've actually got a wobble board that I built myself out of a bit of pipe and plywood and some nice grip tape and things. And it's probably over there with some dust on it, to be fair. But I found that a wobble board, you know, like a balancing board on a round bit of pipe, was actually really good. And I used to have a set of old mountain bike handlebars that I'd hang a string with a weight on it off. Oh, yeah, okay. Right? And, you know, this is when I was doing a bit of mountain bike training, back when I was, you know, used to do a bit, not so much now. But, you know, I would get in that squatting leg position where you are on your mountain bike with the handlebars out there, and then try to balance on that, because that essentially is what riding a mountain bike's like. As you're going over and you're trying to hold stability, you hold that through your ankles and things. So I guess same thing here. So lots of really easy tools just out the back door over here, our backyard. Jumps up about a few feet, great to do little box jumps up onto, you know, and whether you land full foot or on the edge of it, you know.
Yeah, and with your wobble board, take it out of the garage and put it in the kitchen, and then you're more likely to actually just jump on and play on it as well, and that makes quite a difference too.
Might make for spreading toast.
yeah, have a runner.
Hey, listen, I got some questions coming through here, and I'm going to start with one Matt Sherwood, who's asking a question. Matt Sherwood, of course, if you don't know Matt Sherwood, he is king of two things. He's the king of changing tyres, which was fortuitous that we've just been talking about that. If you want to see someone change a tyre in a hurry, look up, find Matt Sherwood. He'll do that. And he's also, the second thing he's the king of is the Kathmandu Coast to Coast handbook. And he loves his handbook. He definitely does that. And he's just made a comment, and well said too, Matt, is that, you know, now's a good time to be running through your handbook and looking at all the compulsory gear and all the things that are in that. Now's a good time of the year to be getting that through your head.
Can you text message Matt just to say, Matt, could you look through give me some feedback on my gear or something like that? Is he the type of guy that would do that? on a hotline?
Absolutely. And in fact, we're just going to talk gear here right now, because I see we've got a question come through here. Now, this, I don't actually have a name here, sorry, but somebody's just asked, tyres, tubes or tubeless? Now, I'm going to caveat this with personal opinion.
Okay, go for it.
Right, because I think everybody has a different thing. Now, well, of course, you've actually got three options. You got, and we're not, I don't want to go too long into this, but we've got tubes, tubeless, and tubulars, right?
Yes, yes.
Now, first of all, tubulars, glued on, solid tire, essentially. If you're a pro at the front of the race, fine. If you're not, forget it, scratch it. Yep. Don't worry about it, right? Tubeless, some will say tubeless is the future. Now, Richard, everybody else can't. That, of course, the listeners can't, the viewers can't see a rack of bikes here in my shed that are lined up here. Most of these things are tubeless.
Yes.
And I am a huge, huge fan of tubeless, whether it's my gravel bike, my mountain bikes, whatever. My road bike, I still have tubes in. Now, I've got tubeless tires on it, and I've got tubeless ready rims on it. I'm still got a tube in them. And I think, you know, I keep thinking that I'm going to have a go at running tubeless in my road tires. But there is a bit of extra gear you need to take with that, right? So, of course, if you do get a puncher, you're going to have a hell of a mess everywhere out of a road bike, because it's holding a reasonable amount of pressure.
Yep.
That being said, if you run tubeless, you can run a whole lot lower in the pressure. Don't go there. There's a whole lot of algorithms around lower pressure, fatter tires are actually faster than the old traditional narrow pumped up to 100 PSI, but that's another whole subject. But I think for this event, you want a tube in there. That would be my advice. Then you've got a whole lot of options that if you get a second one, you've got somebody else that you can just get another one from. So somebody can just hand you one. You're more likely, especially if you're new to this and or new to cycling, you're more likely to find somebody who's going to be able to help you. And you're not going to have sticky gunk everywhere.
So basically what you're saying is run a tube because it's simpler.
I think so. That's for this event. You want to take away as many complications as you can. Yep. And I think for the average Joe, even for most of them up the front of the field, run a tube.
Good. Well done. I've counted 12 bikes just behind me, by the way, as I've you've been talking. So
well, then you probably need another hand because there's actually more than that. But anyway, that's N plus one. What else we got in here? This is a really good one. Never been a crew before. So this is from Bex Green. Never been a crew member before, let alone for a longest day. First time competitor for 2023 at the Kathmandu Coast to Coast. What should I expect? Is there anything I can do to be prepared? Just follow everybody else's lead.
Well, exactly. So you won't get lost. That's the first thing, because just follow the leader in that regard.
Two really important things in my eyes. One, go back to what Matt Sherwood said. Read the handbook. Right, so start there, Bex. Start at the handbook. Two, make sure you understand your athlete. So you're going to have to go through before your race. You're going to have to go through transitions, how they work, what gear you need, all of those things. But make sure you know how to communicate with your athlete, because if they haven't had a good bike or they haven't had a good run or whatever, could be a little fired up, could be a little bit aggravated for whatever reason. Not your fault, but you need to obviously know how to deal with that. They could be really tired or fatigued. You may get to a point where you've got to tell them, hey, it's going to be cold. I want you to put this jersey on. So a trust thing has to go along there, and an understanding.
Yeah, and as part of it's the athlete's job to get you organized as well. So the athlete's the team leader. So they need to get you on the back lawn and practice. How do I actually get into the boat? So you know how I put a spray deck, how the spray deck goes on, and what about a drink system, all that sort of stuff. So beforehand, you know what you're actually up against as well. So, I mean, that's all stuff that can be done sort of the week of the event or so. But if you're sort of involved and know your athlete, well, hey, get involved in that as well. And that will help you sort of understand about the event. And it's about that athlete having a good race plan and then communicating that to you, and hey, I might want this or this might happen. But again, as we talked about with tubes, just keep it as simple as we possibly can, and everyone will probably have a good day out.
Yeah, that's right. And I think, Bex, take this as your number one piece of advice, actually. Forget everything else I said. Take this as your number one. Keep listening to the Kathmandu Coast to Coast podcast brought to you by Team CP, your endurance coaching specialist, because we will have a much more probably detailed podcast that goes into you know, the support crew and, and logistics and what happens at a transition and things. So we'll definitely cover that off in this series again as we go along.
Yep, that's right. Wobble board cushions, $12 from Kmart. Just as a well done.
Thanks. Bargain.
Yeah, that's very good, isn't it?
Hey, Briscoes are probably having a sale too.
Just before we finish up, we talked about simulating the mountain run.
Yep.
Another big bit that people are, or two pieces. First of all, the bike ride, really quick on that. Make sure you do some bunch riding. We don't want bunch riding. The first ride you've ever done is being on the Kathmandu coast to coast. It happens a lot and it's just dangerous. So, and you're not going to enjoy yourself as much either. So find some others to ride with so you can get a feel for what it takes to ride with others. So that's really important. And then in terms of the kayaking, how do I simulate the Wimac? The Wimac is there's rapids in it, but there's also lots of flat bits. So making sure that we actually do some intervals every now and again, it was sort of an up-tempo bit every 10 minutes. So that can be a good little interval type training session. If you've got some waves to paddle on, so you've got a something that's not a river, it's a lake or the beach or something, actually go and take your boat and have a bit of a play in that situation. So, hey, do a figure eight as you're out paddling. So you have to paddle into the waves, you go side on to the chop and you're 45 degrees obliquely to it and doing that. And then also if you can play in a little bit of surf, actually how do I sort of surf a wave and then actually lean in and rail my boat up so I'm not just actually going to go flip under. So keep yourself safe, obviously, but have a play with what it takes to keep your boat upright and some brace strokes and all that sort of stuff. That will make a big difference to your race day if you just kind of know the feel of your boat and you know how to keep it upright rather than having to think too much about it. It kind of becomes a bit more automatic.
That's right. And Richard, what does assumption normally end up doing? let's assume that a river flows and it carries you along. But the reality is sometimes if the water's low, and so there's not a lot of flow and the wind's the wrong direction, it'll be like paddling upstream. I know you do, like you said earlier in the podcast, you do a lot of upstream paddling. I recommend doing a lot of upstream paddling as well. Build that strength, because as much as a river flows some days she don't.
No, that's right. Exactly. So it can be low and there's probably a headwind often as well. So yeah, just like in terms of your long paddles, like up to 2 hours is a long paddle. So you don't have to go for 3, 4, and 5 hours every weekend. So 2 hours is a long paddle. We want to make sure your paddling is actually quality as well while you're out there doing it. If you've got like those river trips or those big missions, they're the ones where you actually go longer for 3 or 4 or 5 hours kind of thing. And it might be a sea kayak adventure and I might actually stop for lunch at half time and paddle back kind of thing. So do that 2 or 3 times, 4 times maybe before race day, but a long paddle was 2 hours. So you don't need to go long, because otherwise you end up just paddling badly.
All right, Rich, well, we've probably covered off a fair bit.
I think we've done a lot, haven't we? Yeah.
On the training thing here. Of course, we'll be back in December, another month's time. We'll be back with another Kathmandu Coast to Coast podcast.
Have you got your Christmas list organized yet?
Well, there's still room on the wall here, I reckon. There's another spot down there, another bicycle. Sandra, if you're listening, that'll be good. We're not quite there yet, though. We've got another month to go before we get to that. So I've got plenty of time to actually be good to try and get on that list. Of course, thank you to everybody for tuning in, for watching, for listening, if this is via podcast. Don't forget, like I said earlier, if you've got any questions around the Kathmandu Coast to Coast, around training, around what happens on the event, get a hold of Team CP, send us a message or Kathmandu Coast to Coast. They will pass them on and throughout the series as we carry on towards the great race, we'll be a pleasure of ours to answer them for you.
Great. Good job. Well, thanks for anchoring the podcast tonight, Angus. You've done very good. You've done a great job.
Well, it's the least I can do, mate. It's about all I can do right now, Dave, to be fair.
You athletes have got a tire.
That's right. I still know how to do that. But you athletes have got it all against you, that's for sure. You've got plenty of training to go. Hopefully we get some lovely days. Actually, is there anything coming up on the CP world or anything like that? If you're training for Coast, what do we got going on?
Well, we've got, our group sessions are happening. That's as we talked about tonight. So if you're swinging past Christchurch and Canterbury, feel free to, there's running and biking and all sorts of things in there. So feel free to drop in, just jump on the website, give me a message if that's the case. Hey, if you're down this way, there's be some river paddling and adventures. So just connect with our community and get together and get out there and have some fun and keep yourself safe.
Yeah. Great. Well, thank you very much. We'll see you in another month's time.
Good job. Well done.
Until then, Train hard. Be safe.
Thanks, Dean.
It's the best Kiwi event in New Zealand, this.
Crossing New Zealand in 1 or 2 days.
Why do I do it? Because I love it.
3, 2, 1.